This is the best of the week on Relevant Radio.
Let's go to Charles now in Cerritos, California. Hi, Charles.
Hello. You know, last month we heard that CVS and Walgreens started selling with a Prestone.
How old are you?
10.
10 years old. And do you know what Mifepristone is?
It's the most used abortion pill in the country at this moment.
Yeah, you know your stuff. Okay. So, all right.
Yeah, so now I've heard that helping to procure an abortion would be a mortal sin. So does that mean then that if you're the guy who works there and you're the guy handing the pills to the woman, are you committing a mortal sin?
Yes, I do believe you are, because you're directly participating. Now, it can be, I want to just be real careful here. So you can be participating in a way that's unintended. So let's say, I'm going to use a couple of parallels and we'll come back to the guy in the store, okay?
Mm-hmm.
You might be the UPS driver or the driver of the big truck that brings all the product to the store once a week. Yeah. And you're bringing those abortion pills to the store, but you don't know it. You don't know what's in the truck. And you're not committing a sin if you're participating in that way. You might be, you know, the 16-year-old stock boy who's stocking things on the shelves, and you're just trying to get the stuff out of the boxes and up on the shelves as fast as you can. You don't even know what this is, but you're putting it out on the shelf or on the peg. And you're not committing a sin because you don't even really know what these things are. You just know that your job is to put them on the shelf and move on to the next thing. But let's say that you're the pharmacist and you do know what that is. You do know what it does. And a woman comes in to pick up her prescription and you fill the prescription knowing what this thing does. You are now committing a sin because you are directly involved, at least at that level, and you're cooperating with this. So the person whom you're talking about, I'm assuming you're talking about somebody like a tech or somebody working at the pharmacy or even the pharmacist who knows what these are, knows what they do, and says, well, got to make a paycheck, so I'm just going to do this, and I'm not really going to think anything about it. I would say, yes, that would be a sinful activity because you know better, and you're putting something else higher than doing what you know you should do, which is not participate.
Okay, so then if you're working there and you know that things like that could happen or will happen, would it be morally permissible to keep working there?
In some cases, no. And I think the morally permissible part, you're asking really good questions, Charles. I think where it becomes an urgent issue is when it happens. So if you're, let's say that you're going to work at a pharmacy and you get a job and you know that at some point this could happen, but it hasn't happened yet. I don't think it would be immoral for you to work there, just working and doing normal work that doesn't require something like this. But if it gets to the point where you're now being asked to do something like that, that's where you have to make a decision and say, am I going to knowingly go along with this, or am I going to look for a different job? And that's a difficult thing for people who obviously, I mean, everybody needs to eat and pay the rent. So everybody needs to work and make money. And that's a very difficult choice. But I'll ask you to think about something like this, Charles. What if somebody said to you, listen, unless you renounce Jesus Christ, we're going to kill you? That's about as difficult as you could possibly imagine. It is as difficult as you could possibly imagine, because to give up your life, I mean, there's nothing higher or greater than you can give up. I mean, you can give up a job, but that's lower down the list of important things, right? So to give up your life means to be a martyr and to say, I would rather die than sin against Jesus in that way. That's how martyrs are made. So if you think of it this way, if you ever were in a situation where the job you had, the people, you know, your boss or whatever, were requiring you to do something that you knew was immoral and that you couldn't do it without committing a sin. To give up your job is a lot less difficult than give up your life, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a form of martyrdom at a lower level. But as Jesus said, this is something to think about because you're 10 years old and you don't have to deal with these issues yet, but at some point you will. Jesus said, if you're faithful in little things, you will be faithful in big things. But if you're unfaithful in little things, you'll be unfaithful in big things. Meaning that if you grow up and learn to say no to something that would get in the way of your relationship with God, even though you might want that or you might enjoy that, if you say, no, I won't do that because it will interfere with my relationship with God, those are like the little things that Jesus is talking about. And if it should ever happen that somebody puts a gun to your head and says, you either renounce Jesus or we're going to kill you, it'll be easier for you to say no then because you've learned how to say no to all the little things. Or to look at it the other side, if you're faithful in doing what's right time after time after time after time, when something really big comes along, you're going to be faithful in that area as well. Do you see what I mean?
One other question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Which this probably doesn't happen very often, but it could. Say a transgender man who identifies as a woman marries a woman or wants to marry a woman who identifies as a man and they're both Catholic, then could the church validly bless their marriage? Because it would still be between a man and a woman, but in a very strange way.
Mm-hmm. So if you have a so-called transgender man who's actually a woman presenting herself as a man,
yeah,
and a so-called transgender woman who's actually a man presenting himself as a woman,
yeah,
I don't think that the church would permit them to get married because of these deep psychological disorders. In other words, in order to be validly married, you have to be sufficiently mature and sufficiently, you know, plugged into reality so that you can have a marriage that's based on truth and openness to life and whatnot. So these lifestyle choices would suggest to me that these people are not capable of entering into a valid marriage because of these psychological problems. So I think if the priest were to say, no, I can't do that, it would be for that reason. And here's the thing. Just the fact that they are male and female doesn't exhaust the requirements to have a valid marriage. So you're right. They are male and female. So that part's true. But there's more to it than that in order to have a valid marriage. Now, you are a very sharp young man, I must say.
Thank you.
Have you ever thought about being a priest when you grow up?
Yes.
Good. I hope you will continue. Are you familiar with the Norbertine Fathers at St. Michael's Abbey?
Oh, yes. I've gone to the summer camp 3 times.
Excellent. Well, stay close to those guys because they're very, very good. And if you have any inkling of wanting to be a priest, I would check in with them when the time comes. It's good that you went to summer camp. I went to summer camp there a million years ago. And I really loved it. Well, thank you, Charles.
Did we cover it? I like your style, dude.
I think Charles is ready to hang up the phone. Sharp kid, though. I'll tell you that.
Yeah, they don't get any sharper than that. 10 years old.
Were you talking about mifepristone when you were 10 years old, Cyrus?
No, I wasn't.
The morning.
No, I think I was thinking about Star Wars. And that consumed.
You're still thinking about Star Wars.
I am. That's true.
You can join me by listening to The Patrick Madrid Show on the Relevant Radio app, live each weekday at 8 to 11 a.m. And thanks for listening.